an altar of peace. An altar of peace. So if you look at it, it is a circle. No matter how your life must be, go back into worship, go back into prayer, and go back into peace. You need the peace. He built the third one, which is the altar of shalom, the altar of peace. We read, we can actually even go to chapter 13, verse 4. All right? In chapter 13, verse 4, just go there. We're about to see something here that is very important.
Genesis 13, verse 4. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first.
You see?
And there Abraham.
Now, I want you to see from verse 2, okay? I want you to see from verse 2, okay? And Abraham?
And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver,
rich
in gold.
He became a billionaire. Do you understand? But we know why. Where he is coming from, he left an altar of what? Praise and prayer. Simple. And the man became rich. Don't play around with altars. Remember, Abraham is coming from a father who was an idol worshiper. So he had to go and build new altars. When he was going there, he was broke. When he was going to Egypt, he went there to beg. His life was a mess because of his family altars. Until he built his altars, the man became rich. Now, in verse 3, because of time, I just read it. It says, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. You see? Back. He went back to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. He went back there. If you don't go back to your origin of who you are, that's where a lot of believers mess up. You need to go back to your altars. Revisit your altar. Revisit your altar of prayer. Revisit your altar of praise. You need to understand this. So he went back with his own money, with everything. Before moving forward in life, he went there. And the Bible says what? It says in verse 4, unto the place of the altar. It says he went unto the place of the what? Exactly. Which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So you must understand what he did. You need to know this. So that was going back to the second altar. Somebody says second altar. Are you following or are you now tired? Are you following somebody? Some following. So when he went back there, he went to pray. He prayed for everything. Then in verse 14, he builds another altar for peace. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after the Lord I was separated from him, lift up now the eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. In verse 15, then it says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. In verse 16, and I will make thy seed. Then God gives him a promise. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land. In the length of it, and in the what? In the breadth of it, for I will do what? Now verse 18. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar. That was the third altar. But before continuing with the third one and the fourth one, he had to revisit the altar of prayer. So you need peace. You need the peace? We need a platform. Now, somebody say, I'm hearing you, prophet. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm hearing you, prophet. Now, and then we hear the fourth one, which he built, of provision. Somebody say, of provision. I'm repeating this deliberately. I'm repeating this deliberately. Someone at home, you need to get this right. Somebody say, of provision. This one now is so powerful. So powerful. And I want you to get this. This one now is so powerful. See, the altar of provision. And this altar was built on a very famous mountain in Israel called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, it's where the Temple of Solomon was built on. It is where the Temple of Solomon was built on. And he takes his son. He says, let's go. And Mount Moriah is also believed by the Jewish tradition that it is where God came down and formed man from the soil of Mount Moriah. Do you understand? We have a garden just next to Mount Moriah where Jesus went to pray, which is known as the Garden of what? Gethsemane, which is also believed to be where Eden, the Garden of Eden was, starting from. Do you understand? That's where Jesus Christ went there to cry for sin. Because it is believed that that's where Abraham and Eve committed the sin. Adam and Eve. All right. Now, get this right. The altar of provision. Say, altar of provision. Then he now goes there on Mount Moriah because he wants to make a relationship with the God who provides. He wants to have an open door, according to the book of Isaiah 61, which says, when I shall open the door, nobody shall shut it. And things will begin to come to you continuously. So he needs this altar. And God says, take your son and give him. This altar, it is not an altar where you give. God does not want you to give. It is your heart that God looks for. So he can actually challenge you with anything. Give this, give that, give this. Because what God is looking for is your heart. If you can believe God who you give, that he can give you back. Because giving is an art of testing you if you believe in a God who after giving him, he can give you back. The Bible says Abraham had faith that when he is killing his son, the same God will raise him up. You didn't hear me. No, you didn't hear. Can I give you a scripture? Let's just quickly, let me just give you a scripture. Sometimes I'm here, prophet. In Hebrews 11, verse 19, the Bible says, accounting that God was able, let's start from verse 18. It says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In verse 19. So Abraham what? Accounting. NIV. Check NIV. It says Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. So he says when he was actually giving his son, his faith was when I kill him, God will bring him back to life. If your giving has not reached that level, that if I give what I give, God will bring it back, you are not a giver. There is no altar. There is no altar. An altar must be, if I'm giving, God will bring it back. The secret of Abraham was that he believed a God who after, if he would kill Isaac, the same God would bring him back to life. Amen. Can you imagine that? The whole boldness of taking his son, putting him on the altar, putting his son on the altar. He believed there was life on the altar. If I can kill it and it dies, it will resurrect on the same altar. Oh, he didn't hear me. So the Bible says, according to Abraham, he died. See the verse again. It says, according to Abraham, Isaac died. Abraham reasoned. It was in his mind that he died. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So, according to him, when he put Isaac on the altar, Isaac died. I tell people, when you give something, it must die in your mind. If you give something, you must what? It must not be a losing. Can you imagine I'm releasing something into giving, and in my mind it's like I have lost. Giving is not a loss. It's a gain. The Bible says when you give, it says in the same measure it shall return. But how will it return? Pressed down, shaken, and running over. It's a gain. So when you raise an altar of provision, it must die. It must die. In Hebrew, it's called Mizbech Ha'olah. You're going to Google this word. Mizbech Ha'olah. It has to die. It is called bent. It must be bent. It must turn into ashes. Mizbech Ha'olah. It must be bent. You should not see it again. Imagine you brought your lamb there. And you're burning it there. Then it's not finished burning. You're now seeing steak. Like, ah. All this steak. All this braai. Ah. It looks so tasty. It looks that. Like, ah. It has to be bent. If you want to raise up an altar of provision, you must bend it. It must die. Am I talking to somebody here? If you want to raise up an altar of provision, you must give something to God that in your mind it must die. You must forget about it and say, God, I've given to you like Abraham. I believe in you who can raise back my Isaac. Somebody say, I'm hearing your prophet. Miss Beach. Miss Beach. It's M-I-Z. Then Beach, the same Beach. B-E-A-C-H. Miss Beach. It's one word. Miss Beach. M-I-Z-B-E-A-C-H. Miss Beach. Then space Ha. H-A. Ola. O-L-O-A. H. Miss Beach Ha Ola. That your Isaac must die. Your offering must die. Your giving must disappear. And you must now believe God that he will raise it back to life. When it's coming back, it'll be more great and stronger. Altar. Do you know altar? It now becomes a platform that even your children can actually rely upon. Your next generation can rely upon. It is so deep and spiritual. Papa, I'm giving. I'm like, ah. Papa, I want to raise an altar. I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you know altar? Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, let my altar speak for me. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus, let my altar speak for me. Let me finish with these words. I told you that this topic is too long. And I said, if God will speak to me, I will share some few things. So altars, let me just say, altars. Abraham raises altars, this altar, he raises this altar. And God says, now, I will give you this. He says, walk. He says, see, as far as your eyes can see. People just wake up in the morning and say, hallelujah. The Bible says, as far as your eyes can see, it shall be given to me. Shut up. It was given to somebody who raised altars. There was an altar of praise. There was a platform he raised of worshiping God. There was an altar of prayer. Am I talking to somebody here? Then God says, now, move around. God took him into a tour. He says, now move around. He says, you see, all this place I'll give it to you. You see, that even your offspring, your children who shall take over this land. After altars were raised. Altar of prayer and altar of worship or praise. Then when God said that, he said, wow, now I need other altars. Then he now built another one now for peace. God can be moving in your life, yet you are lacking peace. I'm telling you the truth. God can be moving around you, yet you are lacking peace. The enemy can invade your house, no peace in your marriage. He can invade your finances. No peace in your finances. He can invade your children, your whole family. People fighting there, no peace. He said, I need the peace. So he built another altar and he called it the altar of peace. Then he said, this is not enough. Then he went and built another one and he called it the altar of provision. This one, he took with the whole son in his mind, reasoning that he has died on that altar and he resurrected. So when we have people like, Papa, I'm raising an altar. I'm like, I said, do you know altar? Altar is a platform. Do you know what God did? God understood the altar of provision more than anyone else. So him also, like Abraham giving his son, he also took his son. Oh, you didn't hear me. Also believing that after killing him, I will resurrect him from the dead. Ah, you didn't hear it. Just like Abraham, who believed God that after giving my son, I will resurrect him. God will resurrect him. God said, what Abraham actually did there, I can do it in real life. Ah, you didn't hear me. God said, what Abraham did there, I can also do it in real life. So God also raised an altar. That's what the Bible says. Jesus, when he came as a sacrifice. But you must remember, there is no sacrifice without an altar. So Jesus came as an altar, as a sacrifice, and as a fire. He brought everything himself. Let's go in the book of Romans. La capata. Say, I love Jesus. Are you sure? Romans 8, verse 32. The Bible says, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I want you to see something here. Are you seeing provision there? No. Are you seeing provision, that scripture? Where is it? He will give us all things how? Graciously. Now, you didn't see it? You saw it? God will provide to us anything we want. Why? He says, because he gave his son as a sacrifice, an altar of provision. An altar of provision. He says, how would he fail to give us? Because he already put Jesus on the altar as a sacrifice. Somebody shout, altar of provision. Are you there? Are you there? So when you raise and say, I'm raising an altar, it's not something you should just be in a hurry. It's something you must know. It will stand for generations. People who raise altars are prophetic people. If you know there are things God spoke to you, you must raise an altar of worship, of praise. An altar of prayer. What's an altar of prayer? You must have a platform of prayer. A platform of worship. A platform of provision. A platform of peace. Let's finish with this. Somebody say, fire on the water. Let me finish with this. I'm finishing this in 5 minutes and I'll be done. Let's finish with this. In Leviticus, which we read yesterday, the Bible says that the fire must always be burning. In chapter 6, verse 13, it says, keep the fire burning always. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Are you seeing that? So, there is an altar of fire. In your life, you must understand what is fire. Fire, I told you yesterday, demons are made of fire. And the only thing they fear is fire. They were made of it. Humans were made of soil. And the only thing that destroys you is the soil. You go back to soil. If you die, it's death. What God made you with is what he can use to defeat you with. So the moment you die, you go to soil. And that's why the devil cannot fear the soil. He fears the fire. What he was made with is what God can use to destroy him with. I hope you're understanding. So there's an altar of fire. What is fire? The fire we're talking about here. John said, Jesus, we shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We have a lot of believers today who have no fire. The fire of God. Oh my goodness, I'm talking to somebody here. I'm speaking to somebody here, right? It is now this altar of fire that is more important than all other altars because it is the fire that will make you pray. You didn't hear me. It is the fire of God in you that will make you have an altar of praise. It is the fire that will make you what? Have an altar of peace. It is the fire that will ignite you to have a fire. An altar of peace. You can't. If I say pray now, it will take the fire of God to lead you into prayer. So this altar is very important. Many people don't have fire. They're just believers. So it's an altar of fire. The Bible says on this altar, the fire must keep on what? Burning. So God came down and told the Levites, and he said, put up an altar. And the fire, in chapter 6, it must not stop burning. But what happened? God himself, when they raised an altar, the Bible says fire came from God's presence. It was not put there. Many people just talk about Elijah, that he called fire. He called fire. It's not only Elijah. Even the priests, when they raised an altar, fire came. In Leviticus chapter 9, let's read this scripture. Verse 24.
Leviticus 9:24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offerings and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces.
Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Things happen on the altar. Fire comes when an altar has been raised. When Elijah raised an altar, fire came down. When the Levites raised an altar, fire came down. When Solomon raised an altar, fire came down. This tells you, if there's a repetition in the Bible of events, something here is very, very common. If you raise an altar, fire must come. But what you're talking about now, this altar is you. You must give yourself into fire. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. People think when the Holy Ghost comes upon them, the Holy Ghost will do things. He will never do things. The Holy Ghost is there to help you. He is the Allos Parakletos. He is the helper. He just comes to help. He wants to change what you're planning to do. We have people who think the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he changes what you're planning. No. If you're doing business, you want to come and say, change business, do this one. No. He is a helper. He will just help you what you're doing. He takes the role of a wife. Just as a wife is, she is a helper. The Holy Ghost is a helper. You following? He helps you what you're doing. As weak as you are, if you're praying, he helps you to pray. If you're fasting, he helps you to fast. If you want to give, he helps you to give. He's a helper, not a controller. Somebody say the altar of fire. You need fire on your altar. When you have fire, you have an answer of everything, because everything in this world fears fire. Even in your country, as we speak, there's a special department to deal with the fire. That's how deadly fire is. Everything in the world can be made by people. Everything can be made by, but there is only one thing that people are able to make, but God also was sending, and it's fire. God, the Bible says, fire came from his presence. Fire. The same fire you make at home can come from God's presence. May this fire come on you today. May you carry this fire tonight. May you walk with this fire from tonight. Fire from his presence. Demons will melt. Demons will run away. Situations will change. By the fire from his presence. Stand up on your feet. So when Paul is writing, he has an altar in his mind. Then he says what? Quench not. The fire. He says quench not. Because he thinks you know. Unfortunately, you don't. He thinks you know you're on the altar. He says quench not the fire. He tells Timothy, put into fun the gift. It's only fire that we put into fun. What's put into fun? If you set fire there, if you blow over it, that's putting into fun. If you blow over it, it becomes more stronger. If you bring a fan close to it, it actually becomes more stronger. I hope you hear me. It becomes more stronger. So he said, put into fan. Why? Because he knows there is a fire somewhere around you. But have you built that altar for it to burn? Have you raised that platform for the fire of God to continuously come upon you? Fire in prayer, fire in worship. You have no platform. No wonder there is no fire. The only moment you feel the fire of God is when you are in church, because this place is already a platform. But when you are alone, you can't feel that fire. When you are praying alone, you can't feel it because you do not have the altar of fire. You need to carry this fire. You need to have to be a person. The Bible says when they built an altar, the Levites said when they built in chapter 9 of verse 24, fire just descended upon it. When Solomon built an altar, fire came upon it. God fails to do so many things because there's no platform. I can promise you, there are many things God wants to do. Just give him a platform. How can you hear God? There is no altar. How can you receive? There is no altar. The Bible says he actually gave Jesus Christ for us all so that he can give us graciously. Anything we need, he can give it to us. So he took his son and made an altar. Abraham, he gave on his altar of provision. So you need a platform. If you have a platform, the fire of God will just come upon you. It has to be your heart. You must be willing. You must be thirsty for the things of God, for the fire. The moment you're thirsty for this, God will release the fire. Build the platform. Build it by becoming thirsty. I need the fire of God upon me. I need the fire fall upon me. I need the fire of God. When the apostles were in a room in Acts chapter 2, what came down? Fire. You need this fire, I'm telling you, my friend. Wherever you are, you need the fire of God to come upon you. And then the Bible says, what? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. All scriptures you'll be reading in the New Testament, they are writing thinking you already know that there is an altar you must raise.